Greetings, and thank you for being a part of the Movers Bridging the Gap third podcast series. And I'm your host, Isaac Manas from UJFM, and I'll be facilitating the discussion today on the topic, how do we create future leaders? And joining me is the one and only Nomfundo Moelase from AFCO, who are actually hosting us today, and also Lebogang Ayobiojo from the UJ Community Engagement, as well as Mkolisi Manan, who is the UJ SRC President, and last but not least, Mduduzi Nkomo, who is from Fear Free Life. And I also like to acknowledge the presence of the guests, and we'll take questions from them after the discussion. But I'd like to welcome you all, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for being a part of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, let's start here. Not only have we seen this, but also we've been taught quite a lot about it and also to strive towards it, which is, how does one become a future leader? And we've had the benefit, most of us, or all of us, have had the benefit of learning about this from our late and former president, Utata Nelson Mandela. And as many of you know, he's arguably one of the most famous, if not the most famous person. And he's taught us a lot about leadership. He's also paved the way for many young people. He's also paved the way for many young leaders, that is, that have followed him and are still being made, right? And what I find interesting right now is the fact that not only are we celebrating Nelson Mandela Month, but yesterday we were celebrating International Nelson Mandela Day. I'd like to start here. Why, or rather, how would you personally describe Nelson Mandela in your life and the impact he has made? The reason I ask this is just so his memory tone the conversation for us and give us direction, rather. And I'd like to start with the SRC president. I'll start with you. And we'll go around the panel answering why or how would you personally describe Nelson Mandela and also the impact he's had in your life, or rather the impact he's made.
Good morning to you and, of course, everyone else in the room. Thank you for having us. Well, it's a bit of a tricky one to say if you ask me about Mandela, because I've gotten the question often at times, and at some point I did not know if it was personally related or is it in terms of leadership because of the office that we hold. But if I were to describe Nelson Mandela, I would definitely say that he was a radical leader. He was fearless. Nelson Mandela stood for against white domination, rather, and he did make it clear on many platforms whenever he was given the chance to speak about it, that if it means that he must die for this idea, then he's definitely going to lay his life. But until there's equity and until there is social justice in this country, then he will continue fighting for his people. So it was not just an idea that was informed by the rumblings or the riots at the time, but Nelson Mandela was one person who was reading. You know, often at times we hear even from the vice chancellor of the university himself that those who do not read must not lead. And it's not a statement of populism or what, but it's actually what should be happening. So, yeah, I think that's what Nelson Mandela is to me.
And Mduduzi, how would you describe the impact Nelson Mandela has, in not only in your life, but also has made in the lives of many other people around the world?
Greetings back to you and the panel as well. Mm-hmm. I would like to say Utata was a person of his own statute. What he believed in is that he wasn't doing it for himself. Ekuqaleni, he brought himself down for South Africa to be where it is today. He managed ukuthi ethi enendawo ehleli enethezekile. He came back to strive and fight for South Africa to be in a better position, whereby he was being isolated, wahamba wayohlala iminyaka, but still behind bars, he never stood fighting. He fought through people that were outside giving ideas on what to do or how to channel things in order for South Africa to be in a better position, up until the people who thought were his enemy, he showed them kindness and love, and above the rest, he forgave them without or with their consent. He didn't mind whether umuntu amxolelayo is in it or not, but he managed to say, I forgive you. After everything that you did in South Africa, still you South Africans, stay. That alone, it gives a quality of a leader, a person who wants to see the country going forward with the diversity that we have as South Africa. Mm. Thank you.
And Ms. Lebo?
Thank you. So I would say I would actually agree with my colleagues that are here today. But for me, I see Utata Nelson Mandela as a resilient, selfless leader. He was also conscious. I mean, he was very present and aware of the people that he was leading. And another thing that I really love about Nelson Mandela that I personally live with, the three values of, you know, peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation, that is the best wisdom that you can live with as an individual. And I think if you see yourself as a leader, whether you're young and old, and you have those qualities or part of those attributes, that can actually take you a long way. He was not only radical, as you know, the SRC president mentioned, but you know, his combination of leadership also had a good soft skill, which is self-control and patience. He could have easily, you know, decided that South Africa should start war after he was, you know, released from prison. But you know what? He was patient, and that is something that, as the young generation, we need to adhere. And I personally see that impacting my life. You know, when you are patient, when you have discipline or self-control, you can actually achieve a lot of things. And that's why he was also a humble man.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Ms. Nofund, how would you describe that?
I think very interesting from the rest of the panelists, what they've already said, and they've said a mouthful about Utata Nelson Mandela. For me personally, and this is me looking at my own personal values, so not only the office that I hold, maybe in my the role that I play at AFCO, but personally as Nomfundo, I think because education is very important to me, and it's what Uputum Kolis has already mentioned as well, that someone who does not read cannot lead. It's very true. Because constant learning is very important, and it doesn't end at any time. And from a brand point of view, because that is my ultimate passion, I believe that when we speak about role models, Nelson Mandela, I even recall, I mean, from my own personal experiences as a child, I knew that there was Jesus and there was Nelson Mandela. Like, literally, mm-hmm. second to Jesus in popularity yeah. was Nelson Mandela. And that is the role model that I saw. Okay, this is what I want to possibly be as a leader myself. So we've seen a lot of influencers that are now being termed leaders or rather role models, celebrities that are being termed as role models. But when you look at what their brand is and how their brand has really contributed to building a country, to building a people, Nelson Mandela still does stand out in terms of being a really good brand to look up to in business, in leadership, and in lots more.
I think it goes without saying the impact Nelson Mandela had on each and every one of us in here, and also the world at large. But what values do you believe future leaders should carry? Obviously, learn from Utata Madiba. We'll start with you, Mr. President.
Well, I think it's the spirit of forgiving for me that surpasses all. When Tata Mandela was released from prison, or even before that, he could have easily said that our people should burn this country. Our people should continue fighting, and there was more blood that would have been shed, you know. But he was not selfish. You know, he was one person who said, I think it's high time that we unite as one human race, for that matter. Let's unite both black and white, and let us organize ourselves into creating or helping South Africa, coming up with a South Africa that we all want to live in. So I think the spirit of forgiving, forgiving one another is what stands out for me.
Mm. And Babu Mduduzi, what values do you believe future leaders should carry?
Thank you once more. Like my fellow brother here said, forgiveness, people, they tend to take forgiveness as if when I forgive you, I expect something from you.
Yeah.
Mm.
If ever ngithi ngiyaxolela ntwana, I'm not expecting anything from you. It's I'm putting myself at ease. Like one of the verses says, if ever I say forgive me, and when you choose not to forgive me, I have played my part. We understand. Then when also sele nesizathu sokuthi why ungangixoleli, we understand. So the reconciliation thing, a lot of people took it so lightly. We even take it so lightly now. Mm. But at the end of the day, if ever uzo kipa ingonyuluga, the depth of you, ukuthi, in fact, you know what? I am genuinely sorry for what happened in this way and this way. I did it, but not deliberately, because benga nagile ukuthi this thing ingenzayo, you put on a blind side, one way or the other. Then if the future leaders that we are grooming, my brother, you're one of them. Yes, the future leaders, like Spakulisa and Vedu, they need to first deal with themselves. Mm-hmm. Deal with themselves, because a person is a person on his own. So if ever we're dealing with something, you first check yourself, ube complete before uzo figure align enami. You cannot align with me, whereas when you are divided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Complete yourself. Come and add value on what I'm having, then if says he too, we've got a better voice than being alone. Mm. But as long as we are working as a team, undividedly so. Mm.
Mm. Can I add something there? Because sure. It's actually very itulile in Toputi Atotuisha Manje. Because you speak about the value mostly now we in answering the question is about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And in looking inwardly. Because I think what Nelson Mandela and a lot of leaders should actually, especially leaders that are coming from in South Africa, obviously we experience apartheid, but we know in Africa as a whole, we've experienced segregation, we've experienced colonization, and there are still people that are till this day that are still fighting for it. But how do I then say, I forgive you totally? I might actually expect you to do the same thing, but I still forgive you for you not know what you're doing.
Right.
Because I think it's deeper in that sense when you do a proper self-introspection as a leader to say, okay, fine, if I'm about to uphold these kind of values, maybe by Utata or any other leaders, what does it really mean personally for myself? And what impact do I want to try and create in society by doing that? Very interesting.
Mm. Yeah, so I also wanted to add that, you know, one of the values that we shouldn't take for granted, and I know it's debatable, is the issue of ethical foundation, you know, ethical governance, you know, and Ubuntu, and obviously Mandela loved people, you know, humility and loving people. That resonates with peace. But I wanted to focus on this value of ethical governance. You know, when you know that a leader is not selfish, he easily served for one term. And that was to say to the future generation, sometimes it is enough. It is not compulsory to have this longevity. It's not like an inheritance where now you feel like I have not, let's say, delivered this objectives and so forth. So ethics is very important as a value from Utata Nelson Mandela. The future leaders need to pay attention to detail to that. You know, yes, historically now in South Africa, we're having a serious issue even in Africa of corruption, crime, and obviously gender-based violence, but the highest is corruption. And if there was ethical foundation for the future leaders, if someone would just say, you know what, it's not compulsory to be in office for 10 years. 5 years, I said I'll focus on sustainable development goals. I'll focus on education. I'll focus on what he was talking about, readers are leaders. And you've extremely achieved it. You can hand over. It doesn't mean you're not a good leader. It means that you are training. It's like train the trainer. It means that you're training the ones that are following you. You know what I mean? Mm. Instead of being a sheep in a wolf's clothing. Yeah.
What I've picked up for the most part is self-introspection is what many people actually also look for in terms of leadership. And we all speak about values such as forgiveness, you know, being fundamental in actually being able to lead, you know. But let's go here. In his autobiography, Nelson Mandela can be quoted saying, a leader is like a shepherd, right? He stays behind the flock, letting the most nimble go out ahead whereupon the others follow, not realizing that all along they are being directed from behind. Now, with that said, is this the kind of leadership that is lacking, whether in our country or be it in our workspaces or be it in organizations that, you know, do for people or wherever? Is this the kind of leadership that is lacking or even needed in this day and age? I'll start with you.
I know she's a brand architect, but that question is actually very close to my heart. And I'll go back to what Nomfundo was saying. From my observation, I really think our leaders are branding themselves as an individual beyond branding the South African country. Forget about the organization and the constituency that you represent, but you are a president of a country. From your non-verbal and verbal communication, do not forget that you are representing a country. There are innocent children in hospitals, for example. Kids maybe in an oncology ward, they are suffering from cancer or leukemia. Indian, black, white, those kids don't need an atmosphere of division. Like Obama Mdu said, the kids need to, whether they watch Takalani Sesame or they press the television channel by mistake, these kids are smart. They need to hear a president, or they need to hear a leader, whether from a community-based organization, whether from a community forum, or you are a principal. You know, we're talking about a leader. Whether from a university or student affiliation, someone who's saying, you know what, we are South Africans, we're going to love each other, we're going to be responsible, we care about each other, and that's what we need. The kind of leader that we need is also a leader that does not hold grudge. That's what he was talking about. Forgiveness is just purity. You don't want a person that will say, half of the room, I will forgive the first years, for example. The third years, I will show them. That's not what we need. We need a leader that understands the essence of forgiveness, but also representation. Mm-hmm. When you're a president or when you're a leader, it's not even about, it's about everybody. The millions of South Africans that can hit their chest and say, you know, my president, he is not joking. He does not change like color. He's not branding himself and his millions. He is branding this country, and that's why we'll get good bilateral agreements, international relations, and that's when we can also conquer in Africa and the rest of the world, to say we are a game player, we are no longer dualistic, we understand who we are.
Mm. Yeah. What I'm picking up is the fact that leading from in front is something that is done so often, right, that for the most part, like many of us have alluded, it requires people, if you can't read, you can't lead. It requires people who are selfless. It requires people who have certain values in themselves that others can look to and go, that's who I want to be, or that's who I want to be like, right? But from the terminology of leading, we all know leading to be, when you even think about it, someone to be in front, you know, to lead the way wherever the path is leading. But the idea of leading from behind, is that something that is doable from the leaders we have currently? when we break it down? Is it something that is, do we see leaders actually leading from behind instead of wanting to take the platform almost all the time and, you know, assuming that they are leading whereas they are not?
taking the scope, my good leader, let me request you. Can you please allow us to be us?
Right.
You just throw the question. Yes. Ngoba mawuzo uthi wena uzongenza ngibe nervous ukuthi sizongikhomba lo muntu. So just let us be us.
It's a very difficult question, I understand.
Yeah, you just throw the question, then let us be us.
Right.
Discuss it, then masi siqedile, then we'll put it back to you. My brother, ileve ikanje. Life says leadership is not a profession, it's a trade.
Yeah.
You don't buy that a sheep at all. Nah. Yinto okhula nayo along the way, living with people, getting ideas from people, abaphambi kwakho and the staff. And what I believe, nginentwana yami fair enough, bengisedanyana ke angwazanga uba nayo, but what transpired ukuthi in most cases, bekade ngimbiza, ngiplome naye, and then I tell him what I want to do, what I want from him. We understand. I let him be. Ahambe phambili. Uma ehamba phambili, I know ukuthi along the way, he will do mistakes and the staff. And my responsibility and a duty as a leader, the father figure, because I've been there. I've seen mistakes, done mistakes. So what I do is I recall him. Don't sorry. Look, here, there, and there, you have made a mistake. Try and correct 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
What I'm literally doing, I'm like a shepherd. A shepherd gives izimvu the path. But at the end of the day, when one swears, he calls it into conduct. We understand. So that whenever somebody is going out of line, you call him into conduct. Whereas the now leaders, they are up in front, leading, going, forgetting Uti. Emuva, we are Moshagala. And if ever Moshagala Emuva, who is there to correct those mistakes? Whereas he was behind. If ever umutefika atsusa istina sfaka, you put it back in the right format so that the person omenzela lo msebenzi noma efika, ah, this is beautiful because of the leadership skill that you applied. Ukuthi whoever oyenze a mistake wena mawufika uthola umuntu akaplastelanga kahle, you as the leader ufike uyaqondisa, ufaka ipende, make sure ukuthi you are an architect. That's what a leader does, being an architect in everything that he does.
I love what has already been said about leadership and the kind of leadership that we need and probably somewhat lacking in our society today. And I'll say society as a whole, because I don't want to only look at people that hold office in government only, but it's the serving part of it. Usislebo mentioned it. Ubudim Duduzi now has also mentioned it in his way as well, that as we've got the shepherd who is laying the path, right? And amongst that are the flock. Within that flock, do we not have leaders? Within that flock, we do.
Mm.
And is the shepherd not serving the flock as well?
Mm.
The shepherd is.
Yeah.
So there's also a relationship between the flock and the shepherd in terms of learning as well. Because without those two things, it's very difficult for you to become a leader and grow as a leader. If I can learn from my peer, and if my leader can't learn from me too, how are we then growing together? And how are we serving? Because ultimately, there's a reason why we come together in any organization, in any space, in any institution. And I think it's important for us to look at it that way, that leadership resides in every place. We can only have one president at a time. We can only have one premier for every province at a time. But we can have multiple leaders that are forming a group of people that are leading together. And I think that's where the service part comes in, is to say, can I decrease myself? Can I not be the shining star? Is that why I'm here? No, I'm here to serve. And I think that's most importantly what is most lacking in understanding, even what Nelson Mandela said with this particular quote, leading from behind or directing from behind, is that I am serving the flock as much as the flock as well is taking direction from me. But I am actually ultimately serving more than anything.
Which is basically giving yourself to the people.
Mm.
Mm. But President, what are your thoughts? Do you think this kind of leadership of leading from behind, I mean, you're a leader yourself for thousands of students at an institution. Do you think this sort of leadership of leading from behind is one that is lacking or even needed in this day and age?
Well, I think the panel has actually, you know, covered me sufficiently. However, I mean, the current leadership, I mean, if you check the letter question that we've just responded to and the one that we're trying to discuss now, I would marry them because, I say this because, you know, there's leaders like your Walter Sisulu, whom at the time after the negotiations and the country was ready to go for elections and everything else happened, he was one of the first people that said, actually, I am old now. I have ran my race. And maybe part of the struggle or maybe part of my responsibility was to fight for this country and it ends there.
Mm.
I should just let and allow the younger generations to take over. You know, you guys still have the energy, you guys have the ideas, and you guys should be the ones that should be in the National Assembly assist in fixing this country. So we need more of those people. We need more leaders who will delegate their responsibilities, you know, to say, no, I might have been a profound businessman, but it's high time. I mean, I'm 2 years into my retirement. How about I go to Soweto in Deep Kloof and I groom a spaza shop owner or I groom, you know, someone who's selling fast food and takeaways, you know, so that their business doesn't fail, you know. How many of our leaders are doing that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's merely that for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how's Levan?
Yeah, so I agree with what he just said. Delegation and understanding your mandate is very important. And the same applies to whether you and I are serving at a church, we're at Sanctuary Beautification, and we said we'll clean the church. But if you know that you love doing it, what happens when you are traveling? You have to groom other people to also learn how to clean, to know where the equipments are, or if you're serving, let's say, as a tutor in one particular school, you cannot have a mentality of being a local champion. That's what I call those kind of people, local champions. When you're not there, now what happens? So we need to understand, like the example of Walter Sisulu. He understood a clear mandate. Same applies to those that are serving in corporate or in the public sector. You're serving on a board. It doesn't mean that you have to die there. You've served on the board. The board says that the focus area for the next 5 years is to make sure that these students graduate and they make it maybe to PhD program. Why? Because we want 5,000 PhD scholars in South Africa. We need doctors instead of outsourcing from, let's say, Europe. Let's do that. You know that the focus area is to do that. Don't just hang on and say, even after retirement, I want to be a consultant. That's when now things are getting, you know, mixed up, and selfishness, greed, corruption plays its role, because normally from our country, if you look at what is happening, there's someone who's a front for a tender. When they investigate, SIU investigate, oh, it's actually a retired somebody. I'm just making a clear case study. A retired somebody, he did not even groom those people. He just took someone who has a car wash to say, PPE, you can do it. You see where the problem starts. So they've not actually consciously retired. They just know that this is how the budget operates. And that also can happen in corporate, where somebody just wants to be a service provider, let's say a cleaning company for a company or a bank. Why aren't you leading? So that there can be new ideas, new creativity. The reality is the young generation in South Africa is coming up with innovative ideas. We need that in our country. Not retired people using our young people as fronts, you know, for businesses or whatever. But we need to mentor and champion our young generation.